I want to begin today by thanking the church for giving us this opportunity to come and to be with you today. You know, brother said that this church had raised me, and for a long time that it did. In the summer of 1993, I was baptized into the fellowship of this church. And since then, I have had to leave and to go, and I had a chance to come back for a little while, and then I had to go again. And I've always loved this place. It was so good today to come in and see the faces of those who we've not been able to see in a good long while. You know, spiritually today, I was sitting there thinking about it, and you know, spiritually, it's kind of like going back to Grandma's house. All of mine are gone home to their rewards, but I still remember what it was like to go to Grandma's house. And that's the way that I feel today. I do love this church, and I do appreciate you this morning. And I do ask today that you pray for us. There's nothing good or special about us today. The only thing that I have that is of any worth is what was given to me that night when I found myself lost and separated from God. And I called out on His name, and He granted me peace that surpasses all understanding of the mind. That's the only thing good about me today. But with your prayers and the help of the Lord today, we do have a thought upon our heart. And when Brother Barry called and asked about coming this way, you know, I like it when things work together. When Brother Barry called and he asked about coming this way, this thought immediately entered into my mind. And as all of you may know, that we pastor a church on the other side of town, and immediately there was a man upon my heart to come and to preach there. And when I called him and inquired of him about his ability to go in my stead, he was available. You see, God puts the things together that He wants put together. And I do appreciate that today. But as we began to think about homecoming, about coming home and all of these things, this thought entered into my mind. And I do ask that you pray for us today. We're going to take a few verses out of the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. And upon reading those, we'll go to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I do today once again ask for your prayers today. In the book of Revelation here, we have John, the beloved. He's exiled to the Isle of Patmos in order to do what God would have him to do. You see, to us, to be an exiled upon this island that was set aside for criminals, it was set aside for those who had broken the law. It was not a vacation spot to go to, but it was something that was set aside in order to punish those who had broken the law. And John the Beloved, he had done nothing to break the law, but because of the way things were and the way that things are beginning to look again here today, because he was following after the things of God and the truth of God, the people took exception to that and they placed him here upon this island. But when we look at this spiritually, I don't know of any more better thing than what John was able to witness while he was here upon this island. By man's standard, he was in the worst place that he could have been. But by God's standard, he got to see things that we'll never understand upon this side of eternity. Such beautiful things he got to see there. We have him here. And in the 10th verse of the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, he said, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and names written upon thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of that city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now today, I want us to keep this in mind as we try to go through this today, as God may lead us today. But you remember all of these beautiful things that John saw there, that great city that had been prepared for God's people, that great city that he told them there before he was crucified. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." He said, "And if I go, I will return and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I want us to understand today that he was talking unto his bride. He was talking unto the church. He was talking upon those men whom he had chosen out and placed there in the church in the very beginning. And from those 12 men, we have the gospel being spread throughout the entire world. That's who he's preparing a place for, his church. And brothers and sisters, today I am most looking forward to being able to see that wonderful place that has been prepared for us. I want us to understand this today. I want us to think about this today. Those of us who are here and have been saved by the grace of God, many times we wonder why would God take his time and take his abilities and waste them upon something as vile and as wretched as what I am. But I want us to understand today that God in heaven, that he looks out over his creation and he loves his creation. And he loved us so very much that he gave his only begotten son that we could be saved here today. If you're here this morning and you're lost and you're separated from God, I want you to understand you have no hope of these wonderful things that maybe the Lord is going to allow us to speak about today. You have no hope in these wonderful things because you are destined unto a place full of death and torment. But I want you to know today that same Jesus that has gone away to prepare a place for his people, Paul is the same man that she so desperately need here today. Religion today, a lot of times, I was thinking about this morning on our drive over here. Religion today, for the most part, has tried their very best to take Jesus completely out of it. With their programs and their prearranged things and the way that they go about things, they have tried their very best to take God completely out of it. And for the most part, in these places that have tried to take God out of their services and God out of their places, he has left them desolate. They don't realize it, but one day they will, that they have been left desolate. They have been left all alone. But I'm thankful today that there are still places that the Lord comes and meets with his people. Amen. Y'all pray for us today. We want to go to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Starting in verse 8. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that's what we want to talk about today. That place that Abraham, that he was looking for as he lived in this life. I want us to understand here. We find that the Bible tells us that God went unto Abraham and he said, you get from the land of your fathers and you go into a place which I will show you. And he went and he followed after the things of God. And I want us to understand today that yes, he did make it to the land of Canaan. He dwelt there in the place that God had promised unto him and his descendants. But we find here, he said that it was like sojourning in a strange country. He wasn't at home there. It was a place that God promised him, but it wasn't at home. It was a place that God had promised unto his descendants, but he wasn't home there. We find that the Bible tells us that he dwelled in tabernacles. Well, I want us to understand today that a tabernacle is a tent. It's nothing solid. It's nothing firm. It's nothing built upon anything, but it's just some material that may be held up by some beams or by some sticks, and it doesn't take a whole lot for it to be blown down or for it to be picked up and moved, or it doesn't take very much in order for it to be completely destroyed. And I want us to understand today that that was the way that Abraham was living. He was living in a place where he did not feel at home. He did not feel that he was in a place where he was in safety and in common with the folks there. And he lived his life in tents that were so easily destroyed. I want us to understand today. And I want us to look at this, and I want us to understand that as a life of a Christian, that's the very same life that we live. If that's not the life that you live, leave the world behind and take hold to the great God of heaven and allow him to lead your life. You see, I want us to understand today that there are many things upon this earth today that are built and they last for many generations. You can go back and you can see that great wall that was built there to hold up the Temple Mount there in Jerusalem, that wall is still there. And we can go back into Rome and all these ancient places and we can see that these things, even though they may be weathered, even though they may be tattered, they are still standing. But I want us to understand today that what Abraham was talking about, that place that is built on those foundations, that place whose builder and maker is God, is a place that will last for all eternity. And he was looking for that. You see, while he was here upon this earth, he tried to follow after the leadership of God. He packed himself up along with his wife and he left the land of his fathers not knowing where he was going. All he knew was God said, you go and I'm going to show you where it's at. And I want us to understand today that Jesus told them this very same thing. He said, you can't go with me now because you don't know the way. But one day after a while, when he comes and he gathers his people up and we meet him there in the air, I want us to understand this today. The feet of Jesus Christ will never touch this world again. He will not come back in order to set up a kingdom upon this earth. He will not come back and reign over this earth for one day. But I want us to understand that those of us who have been saved today, that at his appearing, we will be gathered up and we will meet him in the air and he will take us to that place that has been made for us. We will know the way because we'll have somebody to lead us. You see, here in this life, we have the Spirit, and many times I do believe today that we discount the power of the Spirit. The Spirit was sent into the church for a very defined reason. The Spirit was sent to the church so that she would not be alone. The Spirit was sent to the church so she had somebody to lead on, so she had somebody to follow, so she had somebody that was there in order to take care of her. You see, this church, these 12 men had spent the last 3 years following after the Messiah. They were with Him every day. And it was very concerning unto them that He was going away. It was very concerning. And He told them there, He said, "You be not afraid. You be not afraid. For I will not leave you comfortless." He said, "I will come to you." And He come to those of that church there on the day of Pentecost, I do believe. I don't believe the church was set up on that day, but I do believe she was given her power from on high. There upon that day of Pentecost, when the Spirit rained down upon the church, and those men began to do those miraculous things. The church was set up a long time ago while Jesus was here upon this earth. I believe while He was there upon that mountain that He took them up on, and He went a little further and He prayed and He came back and chose unto Him 12 and set them in the church. I believe that's where that church would begin. I believe that's where this church began. I believe that's where the kingdom began. I was right there up on top of that mountain. There's many other ideas today about where the church started, but you can't correlate them with the vision that Daniel saw any other way. That small stone that fell out of that mountain, that toppled that tower and destroyed all the kingdoms of the world. So today, as we're here in these tabernacles today, as we're here and we're traveling upon this earth and we're trying our best to stay with God and to do the things that God would have of us to do, I want us to understand that we may look at this and we may say, well, this was Abraham. This was the chosen of God. This was the man whom God chose to be the heir of His people. I bet he had a pretty good life. His life was full of pain. His life was full of heartache. His life was full of the things that we experience here today. But what he did not do was he did not turn his back upon God. Now, I want us to understand this. He got a little ahead of God and he tried to do things in his own way. And he caused a great disturbance that we're still seeing in this world today. The son of the handmaid and the son of the woman that God chose are still fighting in this world today. But I want us to understand this, that God promised Abraham. He promised him an heir, and he promised that it would come through Sarah. And when the time was right, she conceived and bore a child. And it was from that all God's promises started, and they've all been taken care of throughout all the ages of time. There's nothing that was promised to Abraham that has not been fulfilled. There's nothing that was promised to Abraham that Jesus did not fulfill. You see, that's why they want to say that he's coming back and he's going to set up a kingdom here upon earth because there's promises made to Abraham that were not fulfilled. But I want us to understand today, Jesus was the fulfillment of the promise. Every promise that God had ever made, Jesus was the fulfillment. So today when we look around and we say that my life is awful hard, we look around and we say that every time that I turn around, this happens or that happens or this falls apart or that falls apart. I want us to understand today that upon this earth, in this life, we dwell in tabernacles. Upon this earth, there's nothing that is promised unto us. There's nothing that we know for a surety that is going to be the same tomorrow as it is today. There's nothing in this life that cannot change in the moment, in just a second in our lives. There's nothing that cannot change. There's nothing that cannot be taken away from us. There's nothing that we may not have to say our very last to. But just like Abraham, we're looking for that city. We're looking for that city. That city that hath foundations. That city that'll never be destroyed. That city that'll never even come. There'll never be any moss to grow upon the walls of that city. We'll never have to clean it. We'll never have to go in and sweep the floor. We'll never have to go in and do any of these things because when Jesus is completed with that place. Now today I don't claim to know if he's completed with it or not. I don't know because he's not returned. But he may still be working upon this place or he may have completed it before the world was ever founded. But I don't know that today. But I do know that he is still there and he is still seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is still making intercessions for mankind. Sinner friend, today I want you to understand this. Today, right now, today, you have an advocate with the Father. You have a mediator with the Father. You have a man that has come in this life and has suffered everything as a man. You see, all of those times that Jesus went out and when he was taken out there and he fasted for 40 days and he went out and was tempted 3 times of the devil, I want us to understand he did that as a man. He did that just like you and I. The difference is that he came from the seed of the woman and we have come from the seed of the man. He was born without sin and he never sinned in his entire life. But he's sitting there at the right hand of the Father and he's making intercessions for you today. He desires to see you saved today. Amen. He desires for you to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. In this life, we have those that leave and they go on to their rewards. Abraham saw this. We see this. Life is not guaranteed. There's not another minute of our lives here upon this earth is guaranteed. But we can take comfort in the fact that in this place, there's going to be no death. There's going to be no dying. The Primitive Quartet sang a song called Glory Land, and it says there'll be no graves in that place as to where that we're going to. Because we will live forever in love and kindness for one another. Amen. Now today, it not only says that he looked for a city which hath foundations. And we read unto you today about the foundations of that city. I want us to understand this today. Jesus asked him a question. He said, who do men say that I am? Amen. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, or some other prophet. But then Jesus asked him a question. He said, whom do ye say that I am? We find that Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but your Father which is in heaven. Amen. He said, and upon this rock I shall build my church. Amen. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want us to understand today that there is a religion in the world today that thinks that Jesus was talking about Peter. No way. That's right. Was Jesus talking about Peter. But Jesus was talking about what Peter said. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And every one of us today who have been saved by the grace of God could in our heart say without question, you are the Son of the living God. And upon that fact that Jesus came, He was the Son of God, He fulfilled the law, He fulfilled the promises to Abraham, and He is going to go and take us to a place one day after a while where we will see all of these wonderful things. That is the rock that we are built upon. That is the rock that the church is built upon, is Jesus Christ. We find that this place here, that the writer here says that whose builder and maker was God. Today I want us to understand that those two words, builder and maker, they have two different meanings. The word builder comes from the word that means architect or designer. And the word maker comes from building something. So I want us to understand this today. That great city that has been prepared for us was designed and built. Amen. By our God who loved us so very much. And you think today, that God has shown you His love. I want us to understand today, we're never going to understand the love of God in this sinful flesh. We're never going to understand all the things that He has done for us in this sinful flesh. But one day, when the Apostle Paul says that the corruptible must put on incorruption, on that day when incorruption has been imparted to us and we receive a new body, and we are made in the likeness of Jesus Christ, then we will know His love. And in that city, we'll know His love. And we'll be able to love Him in the same manner that He loved us. Amen. Until then, we can try, but we'll never make it there. But in that city, we'll love Him in the same way He loved us. And we'll love one another in the same way that He loved us. You see, Jesus, the best part of the entire gospel, the best part of it all, is the fact that they went to that tomb on that third morning and that tomb was empty. Had His body still been laying in that tomb on that third morning, none of it would have been true. None of it. But because He was gone, because He had been resurrected, because the fact that He told them there that I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take it up again, because that was proven, we know today, those of us who have been saved, we will be joined in that same resurrection. Brothers and sisters, today, think not of this world. We're in the shape that we're in today because we think too much of this world. Think not of this world. Dwell in your tabernacles in a strange land. Because one day, we're going to receive something that we never deserved. But we're going to get to go to that city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. I love you today, church. I do appreciate, once again, you giving us this opportunity to come and to be with you. And I hope that you got something out of this today. Amen.